On Monday, Sunday we were here, and on Monday, 6:50 in the morning, Loretta says, "Wrath." And I'm like, "What?" I might give you TMI, too much information, a little bit. I might, because there's a couple of funny parts, but she says, "My water's broke." And I said, "What?" And I said, "Loretta, let's get in the car. Let's go." And I'm rushing. I'm calling Brenda. Brenda's car's stuck. And we get everybody, Loretta and Jonathan, in the car. And next thing you know, we leave the house and we go to the hospital. It was at 6:50. And we get to the hospital, and they kept us waiting because there was the switch of guard. You know, they kept us waiting for a good 20 minutes outside. I'm thinking, my wife's having a baby, and everyone's looking at you. Is it your first baby? And I'm like, "Well, yeah." And it's like, "Well, relax, you know." And I'm like, "All right." So we're sitting there, and finally they actually ask us to go in, and they're monitoring her. And I'm touching Loretta, and I'm like, "It's okay, just breathe." And she says, "Leave me alone." And I'm like, "This is a different woman." So then the guy says, "This is going to take a long time. This could take a long time, so you can go to your room," which they never showed us, "and you can go to the labor room." And I thought it was great. It was like a workout place. It had like things to hang on. It had balls, you know, to sit on. I'm just like, "This is amazing." It had jacuzzi to go into. And I thought, "Wow, this is amazing." And Loretta had contractions, but all of a sudden this thing came. And, you know, it was weird for me and Loretta, because Loretta and I were having a nice conversation, and the next thing you know, this thing would come over her of pain, and sometimes she would just like be going down, and I didn't know how to react. I just kept laughing. So it's just like we'd be talking, and next thing you know, you're having a normal conversation, and then she's talking to her mom, and she's like, "Oh yeah, I'm having the baby," you know, and I'm just like, I don't know what was, I think it was just nervousness. So that anyway, she's having these contractions, and when we end, this is the detail. She was 2 centimeters dilated when we went to the doctors. And then after an hour and a half, I said to the midwife, "Could you come and just check her?" I wanted to get an estimate of how much progress we had made in this crazy time. And the lady sits us down and she says, "Listen, don't be discouraged. I'm going to check you. Don't be discouraged if there's no changes." And I'm like, "What?" She checked her because, you know, Loretta wanted to go into the pool, not to give birth, but for the labor. But you cannot go into the pool till you're 5 centimeters dilated. So they checked her, and she was 5 centimeters dilated. So they turned on the water, and, you know, it takes a while for that thing to fill. And we just couldn't believe it. In the meantime, she's having these contractions. And then the pool filled, and she goes in, and there was enough for her to get her belly in. Listen. She was in that pool for 4 minutes. She had 2 contractions. She stood up like a rocket. "He's pushing!" And I said, "Well, you know, you watch the movies. They say push." She's like, "No!" I called the midwives. They brought her. They out. They put her on. They stood her on the bed. They checked her. And they said, in 4 minutes, she dilated another 5 centimeters. She was 10. Everything stopped for a minute. So they said, "Go back into the pool." Loretta was like, "I don't want to go back into the pool. That was too painful." She went back into the pool. Again, a contraction came. And standing up, Loretta's my hero, standing up with her hands like this, with the midwives, I was in front of her holding her hands. She pushed 4 times, and little Arden Thomas came out. From beginning to end, 4 hours. Unbelievable. I mean, it was a real... Oh, that's nice. So little Arden Thomas there. He's got his schedule switched up. We went to the hospital because at one point he wasn't feeding well in the night. So on the way back, I called my mom at 3:30 in the morning. She's like, what are you doing up so late? I said, welcome to my new life. It's just like crazy. So he's good. He's got loose hips or something's going on, like there's a cracking noise, which is quite normal when a baby's born very early. He's got a scheduled MRI in a month's time just to make sure that there's nothing wrong, but he's doing good. So there you go. We had little Arden Thomas on Monday. Unbelievable, huh? So thank you for praying. We're so grateful. And to me, it's just, I'm really not idealistic when it comes to life. I'm shocked, you know. He was born June 15th on Monday. Anybody know Elizabeth Elliot? Yeah. Elizabeth Elliot passed away on June 15th. Jason, Peter Will's son, passed away June 15th, the same day. And it's just so amazing how a day can be filled with so much joy and so much sorrow. It's so amazing how joy can turn into sorrow even in a minute, you know? And it just goes to show, to me, it's like, okay, we just need to press on. One thing that Lewis didn't say now that he said to me yesterday was, just in the midst of it, his relationship with Jesus was closer. You know? And it's just like, that's what we need, you know, to enjoy the good times in life, enjoy the difficult times in life. But one, the thing that matters is our walk with Jesus, a closer, just like the song says, just a closer walk with you. Thank you all for your prayers. We realize other people have had longer labors. I think God had mercy on us because we wouldn't have been able to handle it, you know. But thank you for everything. With that in mind, let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. By the way, Arden Thomas, most of you have seen him, but if you want to see him, he's with Loretta in the creche. Oh, one thing I want to say. I forgot about this. This is very important to me. Yesterday, in passing, somebody made a comment. And it's come through family, and it's come through one friend, one really good friend, that shook me a bit. And I just felt like I really want you guys to be extra careful about this. Somebody said to Loretta's parents, so is it your first grandchild? And I was immediately, the person caught themselves immediately and rectified. And, but you know, Jonathan is our son. Jonathan is our first child. Arden is our second child. We're grateful for both. In many ways, I'm not saying this to compare, and I was wondering how I would react. In many ways, I feel immensely closer right now to Jonathan than I even do to Arden. And I told Jonathan yesterday, and I've been telling him, not yesterday, the day before and yesterday, it just came to my mind like this. I said, you are the son of my soul. Because in many ways with Jonathan, you know, since we've adopted him, I just feel like he's my soulmate. You know, in our family, he just fits perfectly. And I want you guys to know that although we were longing for another child, for a child, and then we adopted, that in no way do we feel like now we have a child and before we just had Jonathan. I was completely fulfilled with Jonathan, and we thank God for Arden. But I want you, and I know you guys know this, but sometimes I even might make the mistake, you know. But I want you guys to know that, you know, we have been adopted into the kingdom of God, and we are no less God's children than Jesus, which is crazy. And Loretta said something, you know, Loretta's Roman, she's from near Rome, and she said, it's amazing that even with, because Loretta, you know, the family, sometimes when you adopt, it's a little bit slower because we all experience it firsthand. She says, it's amazing that in Italy, adoption would be viewed so a bit lower. Because in the Roman Empire, it was not like that. In the Roman Empire, it was a great honor to adopt someone. And wealthy people would just adopt them so they would have the same rights as them. So slaves, you guys have watched the movie, right? What is it called? Rome, the Colosseum.
Gladiator.
The guy was a slave, and he was a gladiator. He became a gladiator, and eventually he was adopted. You guys seen Ben-Hur? The guy was adopted, and he had all the rights, all the honors. And I just wanted, and you know, it's just a thought I'm sharing with you, because to be honest, many people have been amazing to Jonathan. They brought something for Arden Thomas, and they brought something for him. I just want to reinforce it, and I want you guys to hear from me as well how we feel about the whole situation, okay? So, what a blessing. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to have to do it a bit quickly because obviously all these things have taken a bit of time. But Paul, right into the Ephesians, in chapter 5, verse 1, says, therefore. You know, it's interesting that you have In chapter 1 through 3, we mentioned a few weeks ago, you have everything that Christ has done for us, everything that God has accomplished us. He's accepted us, he's adopted us, he made us alive, he's redeemed us, all these things. But you know what? The Christian life is not just a life of privileges, it's a life of responsibilities. You know, sometimes you get the impression that it's just like, just bless me, bless me, bless me. But you know what? When someone became a Christian in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says, who are you and what is it that you want me to do? So the question is, we enjoy all these blessings that God has given us, should not just be like the leech that says give, give, and never has enough. But there should be a response in our life where we say, Lord, how can you've been so good to me. How in the world can I repay you? Which you can never repay. You know what I mean? Well, how can I demonstrate love back to you? And chapter 4 gives us a little bit of that. But in chapter 5, it begins to, it gives us one exhortation that I thought was really encouraging for all of us. And I wanted to share. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Paul writes the Ephesians who were idolaters before and says to them, I need you guys to realize that as children of God, you should be different. But the question is, what, you know, you can meet Christians sometimes that are like this. You can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do that. Go on and be happy. You know, and you find that your life becomes one of prohibition. We need to realize that the Christian life is not of one of prohibition. There's certain things that we don't do, but the Christian life is not boring. There's plenty to do. There's plenty that's happening with us. There's plenty transformation and plenty plans for us that we are able to be involved in. And the Apostle Paul says, therefore, as dear children of God, be imitators of God. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us. Notice, this is a very practical call. You know, sometimes we like to live life in cloud nine. We worship God, but when it comes to a little rascal keeping you up all night, you just want to just turn over, go to sleep, and pretend you don't hear him. It's like, hallelujah. But when it comes to serving somebody else, we all of a sudden want nothing to do with it. But the Apostle Paul says, you know what? It's great that God has done all these things, but God, who has provided these spiritual blessings for us, wants us to work them out very practically in our life. Christianity that doesn't work itself practically in our life is not really Christianity. James says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And so we are not to just to meditate on the word of God. We are not just to say, to be admirers of God, and we can speak really well of God. Oh, God is so wonderful. He's just such a great and amazing person. We're not just to adore him, just be enraptured with him as to behold them. But we are, the Apostle Paul says, to imitate him. We are to be like God. Isn't that crazy? In 1 Samuel 15:22, it says, to obey is better than sacrifice. And it's so easy to give, it's so difficult to obey. It's so easy to sacrifice the things we want to sacrifice, so difficult to do the thing that God is asking us to do. And Paul says to the Ephesians, we are to imitate God. To imitate is to do or to try to do after the manner and follow the example of, or to copy an action. Have you guys ever heard of David Beckham? Some of you guys might not follow football, might not know, but he was a football player. He used to play for Manchester United and for the English team as well, England team. And I used to get a kick out of watching David Beckham, because every time you saw him, he had a different haircut. And then you would walk here in Santa Ponsa, and you would see people with David Beckham's haircut. And then David Beckham would change his haircut, and then you would see people with David Beckham's haircut again, change. And I thought, wouldn't it be frustrating to be David Beckham? And I thought, if I was David Beckham, I'd get a big old fake tattoo. And then peel it off when everybody put it on, you know? It's like, no one. people just love to copy other people. It's just amazing. We just are creatures of, think of Michael Jackson. How many people confess it. How many of you have put a white glove on your right hand and danced the moonwalk? How many of you guys seen people walking with these big gold chains, you know, just kind of like the rappers do, and you're like, and you have your season, you know? He's like, we are impressed by people, and we love to imitate people. This is what happens in the world. And Paul says, yes, we are to imitate people, but we are to be careful how we want to be unique. Even the most unique people are imitating somebody. Everybody imitates somebody else. It's amazing. And don't get me wrong, I love tattoos. I watch people and it's like I see people tattooed, sleeve tattoos and stuff, and I just think to myself, oh, wow. The only problem is I change my mind about stuff, and I'm just afraid if I ever got a tattoo, it's like then I was like, oh, I don't really like it anymore. Then what? But, you know, you just have this urge to imitate, to be original. You know, before you guys met me, before I was a Christian, I had a tongue piercing. And back in the... I know, it's strange. But back in the day, very few people had tongue piercings. You might meet one every, I don't know how many. And I remember I copied somebody else that had it. And I remember just walking around having it, just feeling so unique. But really, I had copied somebody else. Let me tell you this. If you truly seek to be unique, if you truly want to stand out and be somebody that is, I guess just for lack of words, completely unique, the best person to copy is the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ was so unique. And he was so unique because he imitated. You're like, well, who did he imitate? Well, he says, as my Father taught me, I speak these things. I do the things the Father does. So in a sense, he was imitating his Father. Look how unique he was. Look what Napoleon says at the end of his life. You speak of Caesar, of Alexander, of their conquest, and of their enthusiasm, which they excited in the hearts of their soldiers. But can you conceive of a dead man making conquest with an army faithful and entirely devoted to his memory? My armies have forgotten me even while living, as the Carthaginian army forgot Hannibal. Such is our power. I know men, and I tell you, Jesus is no mere man. Between him and every other person in the world, there is no possible term of comparison. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I have founded empires. But on what did we rest the creations of our genius? Upon force. Jesus Christ founded his empire upon love. And at this hour, millions would die for him. I search in vain history to find similar to Jesus Christ or anything which can approach the gospel. Neither history, nor humanity, nor ages, nor nature offer me anything with which I am able to compare it or explain it. Here, everything is extraordinary. Napoleon about Jesus Christ. He imitated his Father. We ought to imitate Jesus. Because at the end of the day, all that we know about God is to be learned in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, but the question is, in what am I supposed to imitate Jesus? In what am I to be, or rather, like in Ephesians chapter 5, says, be imitators of God. In what am I supposed to imitate God? And this we have to be very careful because we can get confused. You see, there are communicable and incommunicable attributes of God. That's a theological term. Communicable and incommunicable attributes of God. Incommunicable means that you can't communicate them to somebody else. You cannot give them to somebody else, these attributes. But communicable means that you can actually give these attributes to somebody else. The Bible says we are created in the image of God. There are certain things about God that we can be. So the incommunicable attributes of God, and it's interesting to me because sometimes we feel like we want these rather than the ones that are possible. But all power. His power is not communicable. I mean, in the world, I mean, Hugh here, who became a Christian this past year, he says to me, you know what, when I was in the corporate world, he says, it wasn't money that drove me. It was ego. I didn't care about whether it was a bigger salary. I just cared whether I had a bigger position. Power. Omnipresence. That's not communicable. We can't be everywhere at once. Omniscience. Knowing everything. His glory. No one has his glory. His eternity. His everlastingness. His majesty. We cannot imitate these things. I mean, you try as you may, you will never be able to imitate these. But there are other attributes of God that are communicable. As his creation, we cannot imitate his divine nature, but as his children, we can imitate his moral attributes. So therefore, God is righteous. Well, you can do what is right. Isn't that interesting? You have a choice. God is just. Well, we can imitate that. We know when an injustice, Jonathan has an amazing sense of justice. I'm shocked sometimes. If I discipline him and I'm wrong, he tells me. And I need to eat humble pie. You know, and that's the worst when he tells you, but I really wasn't doing that. And he's telling me, that's not right. He's 5. What's he going to be, a lawyer? You know? But you know, he doing what is, sorry, I got lost in that. His justice, his goodness, his love, his mercy, his compassion, his tenderness, his long-suffering, his loving-kindness, his faithfulness, his forgiveness, all these are communicable attributes of God, and we are expected to manifest them. We are to have them, we are to show them, and they are to be a part of our life. We are not to be good people, but we are to be imitators of God. You ever wonder, some people, and you talk to Christians, some Christians will be like, all men are sinners, and nobody can do any good. It's true. You ever meet people, they're like, man, but God, look, when a baby is born, they're so pure. And man, in a sense, it's good. Well, in some ways, it's true in the sense that we are born in sin, but we are born in the image of God. And even in our best attempts to do what is right, there's sort of like this taintedness of corruption in our life that we have to be redeemed from. But nevertheless, when we look at mothers, it is very rare that a mother has a child and will get rid of them. And that's why God says, even if she forgot, I will not forget you. But we are able to, humanity is able to show moments of tenderness, of generosity. Bill Gates, that I know of, is not a Christian. It's amazing that he would give half his wealth to philanthropy. Well, where does that come from? Could it be that it comes from the fact that we are created in the image of God? But as Christians, when we've been adopted, we should be definitely imitators of God. What a privilege to be an imitator of God. What a privilege to be an imitator of God. The greatest form of flattery, or not flattery, that's the wrong word, but a compliment. The greatest form to compliment somebody is to imitate them. And to imitate God, it tests certain things in our life. Number one, it tests how we know Him. It tests our knowledge of Him. Can we turn this thing on? Or is it the fan on? I'm burning here. Jesus says, I always do those things that please the Father. A man cannot please or imitate someone he does not know. I mean, you're just not going to do it. And that is one thing that we never dare get out of switched around. You cannot put the cart before the horse. We must grow in our knowledge of God. And as we get to know Him and as we are with Him, we will know more and more how to please and how to imitate that person. Loretta and I, when we first got married, I'm just not the best. I'm just not the best. I love taking people to do the things that I like to do and think that I'm pleasing them. And I think I said it a couple of weeks ago. I would take Loretta and say, let's have a nice day out together. And then she would come with her nice shoes on. And it's like, I'd take her hiking. And she'd be like, what? But as you get to know a person, you get to know what they like, what they don't like. And as we get to know God, we get to know how He would react in particular circumstances. You know, sometimes I'm a little bit taken back by the simplistic nature which people take in dealing with situations. For example, sometimes we have the temptation of always acting nicely because we're Christians. So therefore, someone slaps you on one cheek, You just say, okay, well, I'm going to turn the other cheek because Jesus said so. And it's fine. And it's fine that we do that. But imagine raising your child like that all the time. And what's ever happened to people that get angry as Jesus got angry at injustices not done to them, but injustices done in this world? You know what I mean? So sometimes I feel like we are a bit simplistic because the Bible says that we are to be loving people. Yeah, but what does it mean to be loving? Isn't there a place where Jesus looked at the Pharisees as, you belong to your father, the devil? I mean, Jesus said it. He's incarnate love. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to turn you to these people that kind of go, you belong to your father, the devil. You know what I mean? I'm just saying that there's a place for these things. With Jonathan, the greatest challenge I have is how to behave in particular circumstances. You need wisdom for that. And I need to know God for that. When he behaves, when misbehaves, do I reward him? Oh, good job. Jesus tells me to show you grace. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's not quite like that. And you know what? There's a time, and I've watched you guys parenting. And we all err on both ends. Sometimes we're too nice. Sometimes we're too rough. And the answer is neither of them. The answer is, what do I do? What would God do in this particular circumstance? It tests our knowledge of God. So you say, how can I be a better parent? How can I be a better boss? How can I be a better citizen? How can I be a representative of God in this world? You know how? By growing in the knowledge, in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The answer, and some people get tired of listening to this, the answer is found right here. You get to know this book, and this book transforms you, gives you wisdom above Solomon's wisdom, and then you're able to apply to your life these things and say, I need to walk in love, true love, as my Father in heaven. Imitate. It tests our knowledge of him. It tests our love for him. If we love God, we will want to imitate him. That's all there's to it. You know, you guys have... Jonathan hasn't really done this yet. I at least maybe a little bit, but not quite. There's like, oh, Daddy, I want to be like you. He hasn't really done that. I mean, he knows I was in the army and he dresses as camouflage, but not because of me, just because he wants to be a soldier. But, you know, usually kids, as they're growing up, there's a phase that they want to be just like their mom or just like their dad, and they just want to imitate. And you grab a hammer, and maybe you're doing something, and the kid just grabs a hammer and begins to do the same thing. Why? He wants to be like his dad. It's an admiration there. There's nothing wrong with it. And don't you think in the Christian life it should be multiplied by infinity? Don't you? It tests our love for him. If you don't want to be like him, it could be that you don't love him that much. Where if you love him, you'll be like, oh, Lord, I just want to know what you're like. And I want to know how you behave on the earth. I want to be just like you in the things that you want me to be just like you. And what an amazing thing, because at the end of the day, and I know this is a bit cliche, but people might not read Bibles, but they read you. And you're the closest to church that people will get. And I'm so, in the healthy sense, so proud of many of you guys here. Because many of you guys here, there are people that come to church here because they've seen your example. We went to the social workers the other day, and we went to take the baby over there, you know, because they're family now. They gave us Jonathan, and we're with the whole process together. And this, one of the social workers that really drilled us about us being Christians, they're like, and what would you do if your kid was sick in the hospital? Would you give him blood? She thought, are they Jehovah Witness? What would you do if they wanted to marry somebody of another religion? I mean, she's like, sorry, but this is a risk situation. Yeah, no, but in some ways I understand it. She gave me the biggest compliment a couple days ago. She said, I said, we love you guys. And she said, and we you too, She says, you're making us want to become evangelicals. I got goosebumps because we genuinely love them. And I don't know if they're going to become Christians or not, but it was amazing that they would see. Obviously, please understand, we are sinful. I mean, sometimes I'm with Jonathan, I'm just like, I'm just horrible. But it's amazing that they would get a glimpse of who God is from our very lives. It tests our sincerity. When we seek to become imitators of God, it tests our sincerity, because if you are going to copy a book, don't you want to copy the exact book and not say, I don't like this paragraph, I'm going to change this paragraph and I'm going to make another one? I don't like the way the book ends. I want them to fall in love, I don't want him to die, and then you made your own book. If you want to be an imitator of the book, you have to write exactly what is there. What is that? Is that yours?
Yes.
Okay, can you silence it? Can you silence it? Is it this one?
No, it's that one.
Here, I'll fix it for you. Does it have a password?
Yes. I forgot.
If you lift... Oh, here, I got it. Here. Now I won't do it anymore. But it tests our sincerity. And you know, when we in our hearts say, you know what, I want to be an imitator of you, Lord, what we're saying is we want to be honest with whom God is when we talk to people. You know, some people talk to people as if God was pure hate. Some people talk to people as if God wanted to send everyone, is just kind of longing to send people to hell. Some people talk to people as if there was no hell. Some represent Jesus in a way that they believe Jesus is. You know, that he's another Buddha, another enlightened person. But the question is, who is Jesus really? And as we seek to be imitators of him, the sincerity of our heart will demand that we are honest to the person of Jesus. I love what Billy Graham said at one point on TV. They asked him, Pastor Billy, what do you think about homosexuality? And he says, well, it doesn't matter what I think. The Bible says... Do you know what you can't just leave people with, well, I don't believe God is like that. And have you ever heard that? I just don't believe God is like that. Well, the question is God like that? Not whether you believe it or not. Your faith doesn't change God. God is who he is, and he will not change for anybody. And our responsibility is to represent him. But you know what? As we seek to imitate God, it's going to strengthen us. When we do what we do, and we are misunderstood and tempted to give up, we will be strengthened when we remember why it is that we do it. 1 Peter 2:12 says, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak of you as evildoers, they may by your good works, they observe, glorify your Father in heaven. You know, have you ever done... Okay. I know I've told this story before, but it illustrates it the best. Somebody had done, years ago, a lot of harm to me. And was doing a lot of harm to the church, actually, as well. And at one point, I was really struggling with this whole situation. But I got a text message that said, hey, if you would like to have a coffee from this person, if you would like to have a coffee, I'm in room such and such. Everything in my heart was like, I'm not going. This person is just, they're mean. You know, and it was really difficult for me. And I was like, Lord, if you want me to do this, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to go there. And I got over there. And I went into the room. And the person looks at me and says, what are you doing here? You are a loser. Get out. Why did you come? And I said, and back then it was other phones, but it was a long time ago. And it's like, you texted me. And they said, I tried to text somebody else. I made a mistake. They texted the wrong number. Talk about embarrassing. But listen, guys, as I drove home, a happiness, a joy came over my heart. It strengthened me that I had done what God would have done. I walked in love. So I wasn't there kind of going, oh no, I'm going to let my insecurities rule over me. I walked away from there. It's like, man, I've just represented God. This murder, 7 people killed in a church. And one of the victim's family members said, I forgive you. But it strengthens you. It strengthens me when I do what God wants me to do. When we realize that we're doing it for Him, I don't care if I'm alone, as long as I know that He's with me. It doesn't matter. If you are alone, but you're doing it with Him, that's all that matters. But man, if you're with everybody and you're doing it without God, that's exactly the wrong place to be. It strengthens us. So people say, oh, why aren't you coming with us? Why are you doing all these good? You're such a goody-goody. You just love doing good. Well, you know, they mock you. They make fun of you. But you know, I'm doing it because my Father in heaven would do this. It strengthens you. It strengthens our usefulness. When we imitate God, it's going to affect, and this kind of repeats what I just said, but it affects the witness that we are in our community. There was an atheist that once said, I can get over every argument. An atheist said, I can get over every argument except the example of my godly mother. I can get over every argument except the example of a Christian. But notice that it says, be imitators of God, or else. It doesn't say that. It says, be imitators of God as dear children. Why do we have to do this? Because we're precious to Him. It's not the whip. Be imitators of God. You didn't do it just now. No, no. God loves us. We are His treasure. Dear. You want to know what dear means? Dear means regarded with deep affection, cherished by someone. Dear also means expensive. Isn't that amazing? Are you expensive? Are you expensive? I mean, the Bible says we cost the very blood of Jesus Christ. Have you ever paid for somebody with all your blood? It's just nuts. We are dear. And this encourages us that this exhortation will be given to us. Because we are His children. Because God would never ask you to do something which He hasn't done in you. He's put His very nature in you. The Lord has given us His Spirit. It's not like the Bible says, walk that way. No, the Bible says that God has given us His Holy Spirit to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. God is never going to give up until we are just like Jesus Christ. And I want to say something. I'm going to close. I'm rushing through it because it's time. But for you guys that are non-Christians here, look what God exhorts His people to do. You know why He exhorts people to imitate Him like this? Because that's what He is like. So you stand here today and you know how He looks at you. I mean, if you were born in a Catholic country like I was, I always thought that God was sitting there like a judge. But He's sitting there. He doesn't ask you to forgive people without extending forgiveness to you. Isn't that amazing? That today we're standing here and that we have offended God with our life. Maybe it was just a thought, well, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that stuff. I mean, I cringe at the stuff that I've said when a Christian. I cringe at the stuff that I said when not a Christian, before I was a Christian. I cringe at both. But it's amazing how ready to forgive God always is. He doesn't make us to be imitators of God without Him being the real thing. And I want to ask you something. Have you realized that you have a dear Father in heaven? That is what He desires from you is not just to make into some religious person. He desires to adopt you. He desires to bless you. He desires to forgive you. And He desires to give the purpose of life that life was intended to have. I don't know why people transfer their discouragement or their life experiences to God, because you can't compare God to anybody. My dad, Werner here, for example, he was raised in a Christian home with just a wonderful godly mom and dad. They would take Bibles to Romania while it was a communist country, you know, just secretly bring Bibles into the country. Unbelievable. I grew up with a dad that was drunk and left when I was 5. Then he came back when I was 10 and he gave me 2 tennis rackets, and right before he left, he gave them to me, and right before he left he actually regretted it and he took them back. So I was like, wow, my dad gives and my dad takes away. You know? It was crazy how when I first became a Christian, one thing that was very clear to me for some reason is I could not compare God to my father. I had found my true father. And I had to see what He was like. Maybe you haven't received the Lord because you've been burned by people. The closest people in your life. You can't compare. The most wonderful thing that you can do is say, Lord, I am so sorry that I'm fighting against the one that actually loves me. I'm so sorry that I'm fighting against the one that actually created me. I'm so sorry, Lord. But would You take my life? Will You educate me? Will You show me who You are? Will You transform my life? And would You give purpose to my life? God asks us to imitate Him in these things that are so good because He is so good. So what I'm going to do is I would like to bow down and pray. And if you are not a Christian here today, I want you to, in the privacy of your own heart, I'm not going to ask you to raise a hand. I'm not going to ask you to come forward or anything. But in the privacy of your own heart, I want you to ask the Lord to manifest Himself in your life, to forgive you, to realize that He came and gave His only Son upon a cross for you because you are dear. You were worth a great price. And that not understanding how that he would make you into a different creature. A different creation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for your love and your grace. And I pray, Lord, that anybody that doesn't know you here, it's so difficult to comprehend the great things that you have in store for us. And Lord, I'm baffled by how people become Christians. Because on the one hand, it's so simple believing. On the other hand, it's so impossible, the transformation. But Father, I pray that there will be great miracles here today. Where there will be the best connection that ever happens, which is a man being reunited to their Father in heaven. There will be a love relationship that grows through the years. That builds love, hope, trust, confidence. Oh Lord, pour your Spirit upon our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.